We come now to the sixth of 14 sessions of practical prayer, little somewhat bite-sized pieces of looking at these different steps of prayer. And each of these, of course, some of us are going through several of these at one time. Many would go through one during a week. Maybe if they're very diligent, one a day online in the internet. But some wander into a lesson sort of in the middle of a series. And I can say that each of these lessons would have something that stands alone that would have meaning. But the lessons do go together. And remember again, we're speaking on practical prayer, 12 steps for cultivating daily delight in personal prayer. And want to, if we say it this way, hammer away at this expression of Jesus to his disciples, could you not watch with me 1 hour? And he was simply saying, in all the activities that you have and that you've had in these days, he was saying to his disciples, could you not stay awake long enough to be with me at a time of my greatest need? And could we not stay awake in prayer an hour because of the world's great needs around us for a Savior? This is step five, watching in prayer out of 12 steps. And again, we begin with the similar thoughts at the beginning of each of these lessons, and you can find this in your worksheets for this lesson. This is the act of mental awareness. The act of mental awareness. Jesus, of course, said numbers of times, and I'll quote scripture in a moment, to watch and pray. The action focus, we want to give an action focus to each of these, is summed up in the words sensitive, and we know what it means to be sensitive. Sensitive alertness. Sensitive alertness. Say that. Sensitive alertness. I remember hearing the story of two elderly ladies who were driving through town. Martha was at the wheel. Mary, her deep, close friend, biblical names, I can choose any names I want. Mary was the passenger sitting beside her, and they came upon a yellow light that was quickly changing to red. And Martha just slams the pedal to the floorboard, and they just, I mean, like at the speed of light, go through that red light. And Mary grits her teeth, doesn't want to say anything, just grabs a hold of her seat. And then they come on another yellow light changing to red, and again Martha steps down and puts the pedal to the metal, we say, and zooms through another red light. Well, after the third red light, Mary looked over at Martha and said, "Do you know what you're doing? You've just gone through three red lights." And Martha said, "Oh, am I driving?" And I've been with a few people like that. I've been accused of being like that. Not very alert. Not very alert. We're talking about alertness, the key word, observation. Observation. How perceptive are you? You know, some years ago, I had read about some of the, I don't know, over in Britain or something, they were evaluating the most humorous stories told, and one of them that actually was given the number one story, and it's been modified, I'm sure, in 1,000 ways that it's been told, but, and you may have heard it, how Sherlock Holmes and his trusty colleague and companion, Dr. Watson, had gone out on a camping trip, and in the middle of the night, they sort of were startled. Both woke up, and they looked up into this beautiful starry sky, and Sherlock Holmes says, "Watson, when you look up in the sky at all those stars, what do you deduce? What do you conclude?" And Watson began to just speak eloquently, but he started with, "Oh my, there's 1,000,000 stars, and it just proves that they could not be there but by the hand of God. There must be a God. There has to be a God. And the night is so clear and so beautiful. I deduce that tomorrow is going to be a beautiful day. Holmes, what do you deduce? And he said, Watson, you idiot, someone has stolen our tent. So, I guess that fits with the thought observation. What do you see? When I began to study the lives of a lot of those who prayed, and of course you learn by doing, and so I was experiencing these things in my own life, and I came to the conclusion that watching ought to be its own individual step in prayer. There ought to be a time to actually do that, and what it means is to develop a sensitive alertness to what the Holy Spirit wants you that day to pray for that you might miss if you didn't hear from Him. And here's a biblical basis quickly. Colossians 4:2. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Being watchful and thankful. I'm going to deal in another entire step later with thanksgiving, because that too also to me ought to be a distinct aspect of prayer. And I know when we teach on that, you're going to hear some interesting thoughts about uniquely what we ought to be doing in that regard. You'll notice I put in your notes Colossians 4:2 in the Message Bible. The Message is a paraphrase, and that really puts the essence of the original language into the idioms of our day. And so it's a summary, and it's a paraphrase. And of Colossians 4:2, it reads, pray diligently, stay alert. And this is what I liked. With your eyes wide open, in gratitude. Isn't that a beautiful way to phrase what you just read from, what it was, the New Living Translation that I just, or the NIV that I just read. Isaiah 62 verse 6, which is very close to our hearts because of our new Watchman Training Center here at the Jericho Center of Every Home for Christ, and the beautiful Jerusalem wall with the many prayer rooms. Isaiah 62:6, O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. I'm going to come back to that particular passage very substantially in the final lesson of all 14 of these lessons, and you will understand the significance of that. Psalm 130, verse 7, here I would read again from the Message. It says, O Israel, wait and watch for God. With God's arrival comes love. With God's arrival comes generous redemption. Wait and watch. Isaiah 52, we'll go back to Isaiah. Isaiah 52, 8 and 10. Again, a watchman passage. The watchmen shout and sing with joy. For before their very eyes, they see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. Verse 10 is really great. The Lord has demonstrated his holy power before the eyes of all the nations. This is an Every Home for Christ verse here. All the ends of the earth will see the victory of our God. Let me give you just an overview of watching in prayer as a definition of the word alertness. To watch is to be alert. Watch is to be alert. Alertness, by definition, is the ability to anticipate right responses to that which is taking place around me, to concentrate on what is happening in a situation so as to react accordingly. Now, I've given you some words to write in there if you are filling in the blanks in our workbook. The ability to anticipate right responses to that which is taking place around me, to concentrate. And watching is that, to concentrate on what is happening in a situation so as to react accordingly. Here is a great statement from the past, from Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee was one of the greatest missionary statesmen in the history of China, and one of those, I believe, that served many years in prison because of his faith. And I discovered a few years ago that he was like a great uncle to our director of Every Home for Christ in Singapore. He said this And by the way, I'm going to digress here for one moment to say that I read probably in writing the book, The Hour That Changes the World, probably 150 books on prayer. And just gathering insights, just gathering as much as I could. I was amazed to find only one writer suggest that watching be a distinct time of prayer, a distinct activity during prayer. And interestingly, that one person was Watchman Nee. And somehow he was given that name, Watchman. He said, we must not only be watchful in keeping the time of prayer, but also be watchful during the prayer time so that we may really pray. We must watch in our prayer lest it becomes vague. It is evident that many matters need to be settled. Many people require intercession. The central message of God must be revealed, and not a few problems wait to be solved. Yet, at the time of prayer, there does not seem to be any definite subject for which to pray. And there is a total lack of words to express our prayer. We struggle to say two or three sentences before we cease altogether. Clearly, a satanic assault is involved here. Well, the satanic assault doesn't begin in the prayer time. It begins before you even get to the prayer time. And that's why there's such a tragic neglect of prayer in the church. Here's a summary definition of watching, which would seem very obvious: a time to concentrate. You're just still. Even if you receive our monthly evangelistic praise, we call it, newsletter, and where we're praising for what God is doing, evangelism praise, we have a 31-day or a 30-day, depending on the number of days in a month, prayer requests. They would take you about a minute to read, but I can tell you this: a perceptive intercessor can read between the lines and begin to expand and go here and there, and so many things come through their imagination in prayer. It's a time to concentrate. Dr. Curtis Mitchell, here's another voice from the past. Dr. Curtis Mitchell said, to pray correctly, one must be mentally alert and vigilant. Much praying is hampered by a dull, drowsy frame of mind. So here would come a watching as a prayer application, applying this in prayer, is to develop holy alertness. To develop holy alertness. Anytime you see the word develop, we talk about people in business who are developers. They go in and develop property. They build buildings. They make something happen where there was nothing. Develop holy alertness. So this is something you actually cultivate and develop by practicing it. J.C. Ryle, another great man of God, from another generation, said, always be on the alert to travel toward the goal of prayer, to disallow any unwanted words from mixing in, and to keep yourselves from praying prayers that are not prayers at all. That are not prayers at all. How would you take a spirit, an attitude of watching into everyday life? And I just came up with the thought, watch out for others. Keep a lookout for others. Be a blessing for others. Do something for somebody today. Oh, that we could practice this, because the joy it gives us. Here's a statement from the past, from a writer. I read her books on prayer years ago, Ann Townsend. And she says something that prompts me and brings back to my memory one of the few most powerful experiences in prayer I ever had. And she said, if I can imagine what it must be like to be the one for whom I am praying, then I can find that I can begin to intercede for that person. Now, I'm just going to stop here. Just going to stop here, because it comes to my mind that the great founder of the Salvation Army, General William Booth, said, in all the training of new officers, if I could do this, the last thing I would do before sending them out into the field is to hang them by their boots over hell for 5 minutes. He said if they could see eternity and the destiny of those who do not know Jesus, they would live and breathe with a passion and a fire. And so I interrupt there. If where it says, if I can be the one for whom I am praying, then I find that I can begin to intercede for that person. My imagination leads me on to what to want to be more deeply involved with him in his own life. This involvement leads to caring. Caring leads to love. And love leads to intercession. Intercession. Love leads to intercession. Oh, that God would impress us more and more. In fact, I'm going to have a comment on this in a couple of moments because intercession is a step. But now we're on watching. You see, watching precedes intercession because watching is to develop that holy alertness of what I'm going to now intercede for. But when she said, if I could imagine what it must be like to be the one for whom I'm praying, instantly, I remember an experience that to my recollection came around 1977. I know that on the internet I could do a little research and in moments find the exact dates of what I'm about to describe. Our friend John Dawson, the president, international president of World Vision Youth with a Mission, made a statement that the front page of the newspaper is a prayer list from the pagans. Some of you didn't get that, but you will later. in other words, you'll see things you should be praying for. And around that time, a tragedy began to unfold in Holland. 153 precious little Dutch school children had been taken captive in a schoolhouse in Holland. There might even be a few here that we even have the kind of memory that you would remember that. I know I would remember it, and some acknowledge it out here. I remember it clearly because obviously of this experience, and then I've written it in a book, and I've told it numbers of times. But because it was in my mind, and I felt a burden, these were precious little school children, by South Malaccan Terrace from an area in Indonesia, they wanted independence, and the Dutch held that particular island or area, and so they were terrorists. They went in with their Uzis or whatever kind of weapons they had and their bombs or whatever they had, and they took over. Now, I began to pray for them, and every single day, my recollection is that this happened 7 days, but I know it was a number of days, and each day I sat on my prayer cushions in our little shed that I called my prayer closet out behind our house in Southern California, and I prayed for all the different things I pray for, and then I came to pray. Because it was in my mind. This was my time of watching. What do I know? What's happening? What's taking place that reminds me needs praying in the world? Oh my, yes. Those 153 children, and I prayed that they would be released. And every time I came from a prayer time and heard the news that day, they hadn't, and the threats became more intense. But I kept praying. And it was a very interesting experience because each day I knew there were a lot of people praying, and each day the threats came that at such and such an hour we're going to begin to execute one of them at a time until you listen to us, and then they would move the day ahead each day, and maybe the prayers that were being prayed delayed that. I don't know. But I do know what happened in my experience, that on or about that seventh day in prayer, I went in to pray, and I was sitting in my cushions, and something different happened. I was watching in prayer. I was concentrating in prayer. And suddenly, and I don't know how else to describe this, because whether you would call it some kind of unique vision experience or just the expansion of my imagination at a point in prayer where somehow I linked up with what the Holy Spirit wanted to happen in that moment. But what happened is I suddenly found myself, as Ann Townsend said, if I can imagine what it must be like to be the one for whom I'm praying, I was standing in that room. And I looked at all those 153 schoolchildren. I was looking at all across their faces and suddenly was profoundly startled, deeply moved, because sitting in the middle of the classroom were our two daughters. They were 9 and 7, I believe, at the time. Ginger and Dina were sitting amongst, they were there. And when I saw them, I began to weep. First, it was fear. Now, look, I knew if I had thought twice, they're no more than 100 feet away, sleeping. This was early in the morning. But I didn't see that in that moment. I was seeing them. And suddenly, a Holy Spirit-inspired indignation came over me, and I stood. Now, my prayer, that little prayer room was a little aluminum shed that you would normally store lawn stuff in your backyard, but a friend of mine helped me put, you know, wood paneling in, and a, you know, out there in California. And the first summer, it turned into a prayer sauna. And so he helped me cut a hole in it and put an air conditioner in there. But this was my prayer room. And I stood up, so I had to bend over just a little bit or my head would hit the top of the ceiling. And I suddenly began to pray. I can't describe it fully. But something came over me and I began to even move my hands. And I began to point. And I mean, I pointed like this. I said, "You terrorists, in the name of Jesus Christ of..." And I slapped my hand. I said, "You let them go now! You let..." And I was just doing crazy, you know. And I did not even know if I was remotely pointing in the direction of Holland. But I was... And an indignation came. I began to command them to let them go. And suddenly this peace just came over me. And I walked out of there with such a peace that I went to office, the office, worked all day, came home. We were sitting down as a family at dinner. The television was still on. In fact, it was exactly 6 o'clock. And I can tell you it was exactly 6 o'clock because our major, you know, the major, one of our major networks, CBS, came on. Anybody here old enough to remember Walter Cronkite? Okay, he was the news reporter, the announcer. No introduction. Didn't even say CBS News or anything like that. It was just him. A solemn moment. But his first words were, now I'm going to tell you, it took a lot, takes a lot longer, takes a lot longer to tell this than it happened. "I have a fork full of potatoes en route." Now this is slow motion now. To my mouth. Walter Cronkite comes on and says, "Good news," first words. "Good news from Holland." He said, "This morning, or earlier today, 3 of the 153 Dutch school children were released. It appears there's been a break in the situation in Holland." Now you might think I'd start rejoicing. Did exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. Put the mashed potatoes, fork, back down by my plate. Our family didn't know what I was doing. Didn't know what I was doing when I said, "Jesus, I did not ask for 3. I asked for 153, and I believe you said it was done, and I claim," and I said this, this is what I think might have startled our family, "and I claim it now," and I hit the table. I have no clue what hitting a table does in the heavenlies. But suddenly, on this TV screen, it happened. Up comes, now there's a slide on the screen. It says news bulletin, and there was kind of this, whatever they do, and it said news bulletin. Up comes the slide, and now, you see, we lived in California. America's a big place, 3 time zones. So we're on the West Coast. And so on comes the announcer. The announcer says, "The information you heard just now from Walter Cronkite was not fully accurate, but recorded earlier." You see, there was not satellite TV then. So what we were listening to at 6 o'clock was said at 3 o'clock. At 6 o'clock New York time was 3 o'clock our time. And the announcer said, "The information Mr. Cronkite gave has been inaccurate. It's now confirmed that earlier today, all 153 school children were released. That's that memory. And then it says to me, how many more things like that does God want to do through his intercessors? And it says to me, why did it happen to me? Listen, let me tell you something. I mean this sincerely as I stand here. I'm no more special, and sometimes feel less special, than the people that I see out that I teach, that I know have come because they want to grow in their prayer. What I want to say is this. These things tend to happen to those who keep their prayer appointments. These things tend to happen to those who just happen to be there when the Holy Spirit may be looking down saying, oh, I want to find someone to agree with. And I don't know how else to explain it. And I don't have this happen every day, but I do have these things happen over these seasons where suddenly you say, this is incredible. This is incredible. And Townsend again, if I can imagine what it must be like, imagine, if I can imagine what it must be like to be the one for whom I am praying, then I can find that I can begin to intercede for that person. It just takes taking time to be sensitive. Now I want to stop here and say, don't necessarily feel that if this doesn't happen to you, something like this, in the next 3 or 4 days, that you didn't get it, or that you're not that special person, and you still love Jesus, but it's never going to happen to me. Just stay faithful. Just stay faithful. Now, here you see the circle again, where now we have gone through 5 aspects of prayer. Before we finish, it'll be all 12. But where to next with watching? Here's where to next with watching. 4 ways to get started and keep going. Here's the 4 suggestions that you can apply this aspect in daily prayer. And here's this practical prayer summary of step 5. Number 1, take a few moments during prayer to become spiritually alert. Watch for methods Satan may try to use to hinder your Christian walk that day. Prayerfully claim power to defeat Satan in each of these areas. And then number 2, this is rather practical. Read denominational or missionary evangelism newsletters. I'd throw in there your church program that you get on Sunday. Some intercessors actually cherish those because they announce the things that are going to happen in the days to come, and that's pure prayer fuel. Those are the special people. Read denominational or missionary evangelism newsletters, like our newsletter carries the 31-day focus of prayer. I'll tell you, you'll go all over the world. You will literally go all over the world just a minute to read one of those, and then you can watch and pray between the lines. All of these things will help you become alert to God's work around the world. Number 3, prayerfully recall various news developments from newspapers, the internet, or television that deserve special prayer. That's why I even see some people that come to pray with us and that keep notebooks. That's a healthy thing to do. They write these things down and they make them a matter of, that's their prayer list. Number 4, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal further spiritual facts about these issues. This will aid you in praying more intelligently for these needs. There's 4 thoughts. May I encourage you in the days to come before our next lessons to actually go through these 4 things once or twice in an actual prayer time, and then this gets more solid in your thinking. Here's the ponder points, or discussion points in our case. Discuss or ponder why you think watching is something that should be an actual step during a time of prayer as compared to just, say, kind of an attitude. Why is the Holy Spirit so vital in assisting the praying Christian in the act of watching or keeping alert during a time of personal prayer? Some of that may seem obvious, but so then that's the ponder point. And then the prayer point, looking back over the past 24 hours, can you think of something you have heard or read in the news that is worthy of your prayers, of intercession? To watch is to let the Holy Spirit reveal the significance of such issues. Turn what you sense into a prayer of intercession. And I guarantee you someone at a table here will think of something that'll come to your mind that you heard maybe in the news early this morning, maybe last night, and suddenly it's, yes, we can pray for that. So let's take some time to do this.